Speaking on this program is Jim Dearman.
Well, what do you think? I'm sure you've been asked that question probably more than once. Let me suggest that we need to consider that question very carefully. There have been many conflicts through the years, and there are many conflicts today, but the greatest conflict that is ongoing in our world is in our minds. Yes, it is the battle for our minds. The battle for our minds. The media, for example, seeks to affect our thinking in various ways. A moral relaxation campaign is being conducted by the media specialist of our day. But I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul admonishes us to think about in the key passage in our study today, and that is in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things. Philippians 4, verse 8, from the New King James Translation. Three questions need to be asked concerning the battle for our minds. One is, why is control of the mind so very important? Well, it's important because thoughts direct our actions. We're told in the Scriptures to keep our hearts with all diligence. James describes the sinning process in James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Listen to what he writes there. He says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." And there's the sinning process. It begins with the mind, James tells us. And so control of the mind is very important because thoughts direct our actions, but also thoughts and actions determine character. The precious newborn baby does not have character. Character must be developed. The writer of old in Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, "For a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." It's been said, you may not be what you think you are, but what you think, you are. Thoughts, actions, and character determine our destiny. And our destiny is so important, isn't it? The poet wrote, "Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, and reap a destiny." And so, because thoughts, actions, and character determine our eternal destiny, this is why control of the mind is so very important. Because thoughts direct actions, thoughts and actions determine character, and thoughts, actions, and character determine destiny. And that is why control of the mind is so very important. And now the second question we need to ask concerning the battle for our minds that's going on in our world. What counsel does Paul give us regarding the control of our minds? Well, he tells us to think on the things he mentions in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Think on these things. Let's read that verse again. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things." He tells us to think on these things. Have you ever heard the expression, "A penny for your thoughts"? Well, don't measure your thoughts in pennies. They are worth far, far more. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 speaks of the renewing of your mind. Paul was urging those brethren to renew their minds. He beseeched them, he begged them, verse 1, "By the mercies of God, he said, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." How, Paul? "By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Our success as Christians depends upon renewing the mind. We've got to change our minds to become Christians. That's the repentance process that follows belief and leads us to confess Jesus as the Christ, and then to be buried in baptism for the forgiveness of our sins to be added to the New Testament church. And so the renewing of the mind is crucial, isn't it? In Psalm 1 and 2, the psalmist wrote, Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Notice, he meditates day and night. We must constantly grow and continually renew our minds through Bible study, worship, prayer, association with those of like minds, that is, those who have their minds set on the things above and not on the things of this world. Meditate day and night. You know, meditate is a word closely related to ruminate. And ruminate means to chew the cud, literally. Chew the cud. We're to mull over the things contained in God's Word. We're to digest God's Word. We're to eat it up, as it were. Digest it and delight in it. Paul tells us six things we're to mull over in this passage we're looking at in Philippians chapter 4. The things that are true, he says. He begins with truth, doesn't he? That's the logical beginning point, isn't it? Don't even think about lying. And then he mentions the things that are noble. The King James renders it honest. The idea is dignified and serious. The word in the original Greek indicates worthy of reverence. And then he says, think about things that are just, what is fair and right. Remember that man Noah? He was a just man. Genesis 6, verse 9 tells us. He did what was fair and right. And then Paul tells us to think on things that are pure. That is, the things that are morally chaste, undefiled. And think on the things that are lovely. Think on things that are beautiful and attractive. David Lipscomb commented on this quality. He said, a Christian should not be morose, unkind, or fault-finding. Nothing tends to injure the cause of Christ more than an unlovely temper, an eye severe and unkind, a brow hard and stern. How true that is. Think upon the things that are lovely, beautiful, and attractive, and the things that are of good report, things thought well of by people who love the truth and who love others. You know, that's the key, loving truth and loving others. We must love the truth, and that leads us to love others. And such love will manifest itself in a positive way, as Paul declares in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7. Love is long-suffering and kind, does not envy, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own interest, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. But you know, love begins with the mind, or the heart, as the Bible refers to it. We must cultivate love in our minds and allow that love to control our thoughts and our actions. Now that brings us to our third and final question. How can we learn to control our minds? Ever say, oh, I just can't control certain thoughts? Does your mind ever wander while you are studying God's Word? If you're a Christian, does your mind wander while you're partaking the Lord's Supper or praying? Do you find yourself thinking about how hungry you are, or whether or not you turned the stove off? Who is it that is battling with us for control when the mind wanders? That's right, it's Satan. Therefore, we must ever guard what we put into our minds. Is it enough to say, I won't think about this? No. We must replace the negative, unwanted thought with good. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 9, a passage similar to Philippians 4:8, tells us, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. What a beautiful passage that is. If we're to learn to control our minds, we're going to have to put into our minds more of the Word of God. We must put every precept from the Word into our minds, and we must seek to practice those precepts every day in our lives. We cannot take part of the Word and ignore the rest. To do so makes us judges of the law, as James wrote in James 4, in verse 11. No, we need to truly put into our minds all of the Word of God. Not a pick-and-choose policy, as far as the Word of God is concerned, but to put it all there and to practice it in our lives. And to do so will engender in us the kind of love for God and Christ and for our fellow man that we should always manifest, and a love that will grow and intensify the longer we live. Philippians 4:13 assures us that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And Philippians 2:5 reminds us that we're to let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. Remember that in the context in which those words were written about the mind of Christ, Paul went on to speak of Christ humbling himself to die on the cross. Let me ask you about your mind today. Is it humble or is it proud? We plead with you to be of humble mind and to become obedient to the gospel. As one who desires to renew his mind and to have the mind of Christ. You see, nothing good can happen until self is dethroned and the Savior is enthroned in our hearts. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, the humble of spirit. That's a foundational characteristic of becoming a Christian. We plead with you to humble yourselves and be obedient to the Word of God, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Christ, and being buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins. Till next time, I'm Jim Dearman.